Yesterday we had a chance to develop the chakira that several acharim talked about, trying to understand what's the driver of the chiyuv tashlum and the tashlumei nezek. Torah tells us so many times, so many different avos nezikin, that you're chayiv for memono shehizik. So what's that driven by? The yesh lachkar, is that driven by the ma'aseh nezek, which appears to be the case by Adam HaMazik? It's my I'm chai for my ma'aseh nezek. Or is it not that my memoni hizik, but rather it's the fact that I was, it's not the act of my mamon, but it's my own irresponsibility. I was derelict in my chiyuv shmir. I was supposed to be shomer my mamon shel yazik, I wasn't, and I pay for that. So we saw that some rishonim read that into the Mishnah from beginning to end. Ben Yonason certainly seems to understand the whole flow of the Mishnah, Ruach Haim versus non-Ruach Haim, is a question of, well, maybe here there's more of a need to be Shomer, here there's less of a need to be Shomer. I mean, from the very outset of the Mishnah, it's the Chiyuv Shmir that's driving the Chiyuv to pay. Well, we suggested yesterday that perhaps the Rashba reads the Mishnah the way some Achronim suggest, the Brikas Avraham suggests, Rabbi Shechter suggests, and others have this idea, but not as specifically in the reading of the Mishnah, that the Ruach Chaim, the motion from Ruach Chaim to non-Ruach Chaim, from Holuch HaMazik to Eino Holuch HaMazik, is exactly this core issue. That the motion is not just details and how far you draw the Chiyuv Shmira, it's, is it about Chiyuv Shmira or not? Ruach Chaim would have been an argument that you're chayav on a behemah because the behemah did a maisa. There's a maisa done by my mamon for which I can be chayav. Even Eish, it's at least halacha mazik, so we can in some way speak of it as performing a maisa. The fire that I lit did something. I'm chayav for what my animal did. I'm chayav for what my fire did. That was a havamina. When we get to bar, we then reject that. Bar is clearly not Ruach Chaim. It's not Holuch HaMazik, and that fundamentally means that you can't talk about the bar is doing anything. All it is I create is a language we're going to see over the course of the Masechta. You probably already have begun to see in the third paragraph. I create a takala. I create a problem. I create an obstacle. But it's not doing anything. It's just a takala. There's a stationary, static problem, and people are bumping into it. People are getting hurt by the problem that I created. So it's purely that there's no element of mice in there, but it's all about Chiyuv Shmira. I was poshe in a very great way. I created a takala. So I'm going to have to pay for the results of my my pshia. That, again, as we said yesterday, that would, I believe, explain the Rashba beautifully. And the Rashba says, number one, bars ain't a hol chamazik. And by the way, also, point number three, the bar doesn't come to you come to the bar. Well, isn't that the same thing? The answer is no. Because the fact that you come to the Niza, comes to the bar, that's a practical point in terms, perhaps, in terms of Shmira. In terms of who's liable. Whose fault is it? That's a practical point. Holuch HaMazik, it's true that the Niza always has to walk into the bar because the bar can't walk. But the Holuch, when the Rashba as a separate point, first says that the bar is not Holuch HaMazik, that's perhaps what the Mishnah is saying. I mean, it's the language of the Mishnah. And this reading of the Mishnah, that all the other Avos Nezek could be construed, could be understood as my mamon did a maisa, and I have to pay for the results of the maisa of my mamon. And bar is fundamentally different because bar is clearly there's no maisa whatsoever. So we understand how the Raj was putting those into two separate pieces, and now we understand how to read. The Ruach Chaim line, how to read the Darko Leichol Hazak line. And the truth is, I did not mention yesterday, it also enables us to understand the notion of Grama. Gemara has, and we'll come back to this again in a couple minutes, but this is just the most of one point on the discussion right yesterday before we take it to the next level, to the next Shlav. The Gemara says it comes down in Bava Kamma also plenty. The language is, the Nusach is most explicit in Bava Basra, which is why I sent you to take a look at Gemara and Bava Basra. And Gemara has this notion that There are different layers. An idea of Adam Hamazik, Parsha Samar, Maka Behem Yishalmena, Maka Nefesh Behem Yishalmena. I cause Nezek to your property, I have to pay for it. The example in Chumash is pretty direct. Maka Behema. Sounds like a person went over and hit an animal and injured the animal or killed the animal. Right? That's a direct Maisa Adam. So I have to pay for that. The Gemara says that if it's indirect, if it's grama, then grama, if I did something which ended up causing your loss indirectly, but I did not directly attack your property, so then that's pater. Grama is pater. Or it says grama is after pater avalas. If I did a grama, it was wrong to do it. I'm going to have to account for it in Shamayim. But I'm potter b'dinei adam. Beis Din will not make me pay if I did something indirect. As a matter of fact, the Gemara even has, between normal adam hamazik and grama, the Gemara has an in-between category, which you may have already seen, and that's garmi. We showed him discuss exactly how you draw the dividing lines. What's grama, what's garmi? Maybe there are one, two, we show even think there's just two names for the same thing. A grama is slight, garmi is slightly more direct. Let's say, for instance, let's say Renner borrowed $100 from Jonah. So Yonatan said, I'm glad they're $100, but I want proof. So they drew up a shtar code, they made them sign, that Ariel borrowed $100 from Yonatan due on such and such a day. Okay? Who holds on to the shtar? Right. Exactly, right? The Malbim. Yonatan. Holds on to the shtar. With that shtar, he can extract the money at the due date from Ariel. Now Ariel's the honest guy, he'll pay anyways. But let's say we're dealing with Ariel, who's not as nice a guy as Ariel. And exactly. And so Yonatan really needs that shtar. Without that shtar, he's likely can kiss that money goodbye. Fellow goes over to Yonatan and says, can I see that shtar for a moment? Takes the shtar, burns it, destroys it, shreds it. So the shredder, the first person who just took that shtar and shredded it, what's his status? The mazik, yeah? What was he mazik? How much does he have to pay, Yonatan? Well, now he destroyed the paper. Right. Well, Yonatan's not interested in the value, even if it was high quality paper. It's a couple worth a couple bucks. That's not what he's after. He's after the fact that he had this outstanding debt of $100 or $10,000 that now he's not able to get. Now, does the mazik, the one who sword sharos of shalchavero? He's an adam mazik on what? Well, he was obviously directly mazik the paper, but the point is that he caused Yonatan a loss of $100, a loss of $10,000. Mm-hmm. But that's already in the world of garmi grum. That's grum. He didn't directly attack the money, but he obviously he rendered Yonatan incapable of retrieving that money. But that's an indirect type of nezek. So there it becomes discussion. Is it somewhat indirect? Is it garmi? Is it very indirect? Is it grama? But if you're indirect enough, the Gemara says, certainly if you're grama, garmi is more as machlokes, what the status is. But for sure, if it's grama, the more indirect it is, and the Gemara says, you're chayev b'dinei shamayim, but pater b'dinei edem. You're going to have to, you did wrong. If you shredded that shtar, you did wrong. It's aser. And the right thing to do would be to pay. If you don't pay, you're going to have to give a din cheshbon and shamayim. But Beis Din can't, it's not an actionable debt. He can't, Yonatan can't take the one who did the grama to Beis Din. Again, the case of Soros Chaver is a borderline case. Maybe grama, maybe garmi. But here's the point. What changed? I still told you Nezek. Because you're Nezek, the answer is right. And whether I went over to his $10,000 car and torched it,
or whether I went over to that shtar and torched it. Either way, I was being beyond irresponsible. I was being wildly irresponsible. Either way, it was definitely wrong. But different. But it sounds like Aldo Hamazik, the chiyuv really is because of what I. The difference is Aldo Hamazik means I did a maisa. I did a direct action to your property. I went over to your car. I destroyed your car. That's a maisa nezek. But if I went over to your shtar and bring your shtar, it's a direct maasa nezek to the shtar. But it's not a direct maasa. I wasn't operating on the chov. I indirectly caused you loss. Right. So the difference between adam hamazik biyadayim, as we often refer to it, in a hands-on fashion, versus a grama, is here there's a maasa, and here there's no maasa. The whole idea of grama, if I differentiate between a hands-on activity versus grama, and I say, here the basin will make you pay, here the basin will not make you pay, what I'm saying is that the Adam Azik having to pay, that's driven by his action. That's why in Hilchos Shabbos also, there's a difference between Malacha Shabbos is an Isra Maaseh, very different part of Halacha, but there also depends on action. And that's why there too, we differentiate between taking water and pouring it on the fire versus putting a fragile, burnable container of water next to the fire. So I know that within a minute, the container will burst and the water will spill over the fire and put it out. Right? But I didn't do a maisa. So if I pour the water on, that's an act of Chil Shabbos. If I leave the container of water next to it, that's Gram Kibui. That's a lesser level of Chil Shabbos because there was no masa. Again, Shabbos, Nezikin, they're very, very different. What they share in common is the pan-halachic concept of maisa. Is it directly by maisa or is it just a Gram? Adam Hamazik appears to be, Yes, thank you. That as well. We'll get to that next week. So Adam Hamazik seems to be the Machayev of Tashlum, and the reason why I have to pay, because I did a Maisa. Mamon, though, that was perhaps a Hava mean in the Mishnah, but ultimately, it's not because my Mamon did a Maisa, because after all, clearly by Bar, it's not because my Mamon did a Maisa. Presumably, could be the same for, even for Ashar, or even for Esh. It's not that I did a Maisa, it's that I was Poshea in Ivechi of Shmira, and I would, if Ivechi of Shmira, if I was not Shomer properly, then I need to pay. Ad Kan, what we worked on up until yesterday with the insertion as well of this Grama piece to sort of move the idea forward. Some questions, not that. When I indirectly cause damage to someone.
And how is it different from
Garmi? Garmi is, according to most Rishonim, Garmi is somewhat more direct. The big machlokas Ramban, Tosas, three machlokas Ramban, Tosas, Rambam. Perhaps we'll have a chance to see later in the year, in terms of how you define the border between Garmi and Grama. Is it a difference Daraisa, a difference Rabbanan? Maybe there's no difference. But loosely speaking, Garmi is in between regular Adamazik Biyadayim and Grama. So the easiest way to think about it is Garmi is somewhat indirect and Grama is very indirect. So Garmi, some Tanam say Yechayev, and Grama, everyone agrees that you're Pater. Pater Bidine Adam.
By Mamon Hamazik, why do we care whether Mamon is Oleh Hamazik or whether it's Dinah Shmira?
Yeah, so
either way, your negligence was what caused him damage.
If we cared, if we understood it as a maisa of my mamon, then we would never be mechayev you for a bar. Because we say, why should we chayev on bar? I dug a pit, I left a banana peel on the floor, and then someone came and slipped on it. That's grama.
I'm not chayav for that. As Adam Azak, I'm not chayav for that. Mamoni Shehezik. Bnei Apel didn't do anything. You just sat there. You walked over and slipped on it. Bnei Apel didn't do anything to you. So the only way to understand that is to realize that Mamon HaMazik is not operating, the need to pay is not driven by my banana peel did something. It's actually me. I was Poshaya, I had a Chiv Shmir, I was Poshaya, and therefore I have to pay. Yeah.
I remember that there's a very cool technology display in the Gush in Israel that talks about Grumma and Shabbos.
Machon Soma?
Yes,
that's a good point. Yeah, there are situations when the gram malacha is much less severe than actual malacha v'yadayim, and sometimes tzarachola, or sometimes mekel to allow gram malacha. So there are Machon Somet has a whole slew of very fascinating devices that involve grama to reduce the degree of iser. Sometimes they have gramophones. That was one of the first things I think. I don't know if that was in Soma. And Beth Abraham for a while had in the shul office. It was a gramophone that doctors could use. You had to call the hospital on Shabbos, a potential pikuach nefesh. So you're allowed to make a call for pikuach nefesh, but if it's easy, if it won't take any more time to do it in a way that's less aster, so matov. They had a gramophone in the office. And it was like a 3 second time delay in each button. Again, it's not a significant amount of time. It poses more of a sakana. And all the calls you were making were Ali Day Grama. Right. But now they have all sorts of things. They have lots of devices. Yeah. Right, it's a masa to the paper. And therefore, I'm chai for the paper. But it's not a masa to the chov. Right, the debt is not really a physical entity at all. It's a concept. There is a debt, and I even destroy the debt. Again, there are ways to destroy it. I even destroy the debt either. I just rendered you incapable of getting to it. The debt still exists. Right? There might be times the Gemara Bava Basra has. If I sold a debt that I came over it, there are ways to destroy the debt that you own. I didn't even do that. I just handcuffed you. Now you can't get to the debt. Right, so that's why it's the nezek to the debt is very, the $10,000, the $100, whatever it is, nezek, that's very indirect. Noam.
Two questions.
Sure.
Doesn't this Brahma thing seem to indicate our first or potentially
Havnina Mesha? For Adam HaMazik, absolutely. This is further indication that when we look at Adam HaMazik, the chi for Adam HaMazik is the fact that I have to pay, the mechayev of paying is the maaseh nezek, the maaseh hamazek. We saw yesterday, I'm glad you pointed out, we saw yesterday, on the one hand, that's why you're chayev ba'ones. Again, not for now, machlokes tos Ramban, how far do you go with ones, even ones gamar, but certainly it's beyond what you would normally qualify as a chayev shmira. It was more or less, I didn't do anything wrong, and it ended up... I end up again in Hameniach. If I trip and fall on your stuff, so maybe we can say that the one who left the thing that tripped me bears even more responsibility than I do for breaking your things, and result it shifts over to him. But if there's no one else to blame, and if I was Mazik Bonus, it's on me. Why? No, it's not that I wasn't a Poshea. You're right, you weren't a Poshea, but you still did a Maaseh Nezek. Just like, not everything in life is a matter of fault. If I say, some people always play the excuse game for everything. Right. Sometimes you have to realize, it's not a matter of fault, it's just reality. Like if I poured milk into your chont, or I poured milk into my own chont, by accident, I didn't mean it. It was a pure accident, it doesn't matter. Your milk went in the chont's drink. It's just reality. Right? And vice versa. If I fall into a mikveh by accident, so we assume that I'm tahar. I didn't mean it, but Pasha, that doesn't require kavana either. I'm tahar. It's just reality. That's what happened. That was the maisa. Did a maisa tefillah. I'm tahar. The milk went in the chalam tami. It's always struck me as strange. Ever read the warning labels on hazardous household items? Let's say like cleaning fluids. So it always says a very bizarre nusach. intentional misuse of this product may lead to, injury or death. It doesn't have to be intentional, right? If you do a shlov miskaven nebuch, a person accidentally, he thought he was drinking something safe and he drank poison. It wasn't intentional, but it's still going to have the same impact. Right? That's just a reality. That was the maisa that was done. So Adma Mazik, even though I wasn't posheya, you did the maisa nezek, so you got to pay. And li'idach chisa, since it's driven by maasa, so if it's grumma, then it's not a maisa. And as I mentioned before, that's that issue of maisa versus grumma is a broad pan-halachic issue. Reshechta has more than one article, Eretz Tzvi Bekvetzon, about defining maisa and grumma, and the discussion ranges across many different sugyas, many different mesechtas. Because that issue of how you define maisa versus, if it isn't my action versus it's too indirect, that could come up in Nezikin, can come up in Shabbos, it can come up in a host of different places. Exactly. I'm like Rabbi Yonasan, who saw the Mishnah from the outset, already assuming it's all about Chiyuv Shmir, just dealing with the details, and this strengthens what the Birkas Rav and Reshechta say, and what I believe the Rashba is driving as well. I would see it as a Machlokas Rashba and Rabbi Yonasan, Machlokas Rishonim, that's what I would suggest. What's the half a meaning of the Mishnah, or how much motion is there from Havim to Maskana? Is it just a question of details, or it's a fundamental shift from Tzad number one of the Chakir to Tzad number two? Yeah.
Question on the Rashba.
Yeah.
If we're saying that the Rashba is saying that the flow of the Mishnah is going to think that it works like the animal on Shabbos, and that's the animal that was Mazik with Tzichayat, then we say, so we wouldn't have known Yish. Then once you tell Yish, you say, well, maybe it moves around also, so you wouldn't know Bor. So if the Rashba is saying that Bor is such a Kiddush because you think it moves around like an animal, wouldn't you say that taking one step back, meaning going from animals to ish, is a bigger or at least the same level of kiddush than going from animals and ish to boar?
Interesting. I'm not sure.
Because if that were to be true, then why doesn't the Rosh say we should also learn the notion on the
by ish? Right. So you're saying that svara of difference that you have between bar and the rest, you also have between Aish and the rest. Maybe. So shtei tshuvas bedavar. Number one, the Rashba was intent on showing multiple uniquenesses about bar. Aish may have one, but doesn't have all of them. Number two, even within this one, it's true that Aish would be unique if all you had was Shar and Adam and Aish. But you have bar. No, when the Mishnah says, oh, Aish is Embar Rechayim, at that point it's unique until you have bar also. But in Lamasa we have both Aish and bar. Right? So once you have both Aish and bar, Aish is no longer Mechudosh. Because it shares its non Ruachayim with bar. But bar is super non Ruachayim. Bar Daim Ho Chamazik doesn't even move. So that remains even Lamaskana unique to bar. I mean, even the way the Chumash is actually written. The Kaddish Baruch Hu did include all the things in the Chumash, but Bar is still unique. I want to take this step further, but let's motivate it by reading something absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking, and it'll be shocking to you specifically because we started the year of the fifth parak of Bava Kamma. But we're not going to look at the fifth parak of Bava Kamma. With that under your belt, with that awareness under your belt, we're going to look at a Rashba on Daf Beis. Look at the Rashba on Daf Beis. You have the Rashba in front of you. It's the part that you might have skipped. I tell you, when we looked at this Rashba on Daf Beis and Beis, we'll start from Vikashul. We'll start from the Rashba's treatment of Tosfos, the Einon Shemin Adin, which we definitely spent time on. But the real shocking part of the Rashba is earlier. See let's take a quick peek at the Gemara Daf Beis and Beis for a moment. A quick peek at Daf Beis and Beis. May one look at the Chavrusa after it, but the Gemara says, "Look, we know that there are multiple examples of behema mazika in Chumash. You have the parsha of Shein V'Regel, Ki Avir Shad V'Kerem, and you have all that negicha, And what does negicha mean? Karen. How do you know it's Karen? Well, because that's what Rashi says, right? How does Rashi know? What does it mean to be no geach? Gor. Ah, to gor. How do you know that? Well, how do you know Hebrew? Because you study Hebrew. So if you open up a Tanakh and start reading, you'll come across Pesukim. They make it pretty clear that that negicha is something that you do with a horn. Take a look inside. Take a look inside near the top of Beis and Beis. Tana Rabbanan. A couple lines from the top. Tana Rabbanan Gimel Avos Nemar B'Shar. Hakera and Hashein V'Aregel. There are three avos, three instances in Chumash of the animal causing nezek. There's Karen, Shein, and Regel. Karen Minolam. Where does that? Where do you see in the Chumash? That's the Brisa. The Gemara wants to know, where do you see anything about Karen? The Tana Rabbanan. We'll quote another Brisa. And this second Brisa sounds like a Medrash, which is why it opens with a pasuk and then interprets it. Tana Rabbanan Ki Yigach. The Torah says Ki Yigach when the shor is no geach. Well, the Medrash wants to know, what does that mean? When a shor does what? When a shor gores, when a shor tickles, when a shor laughs, when a shor stampedes, what does it mean to be no geach? In Mishpatim, it's clearly something damaging that a shor does. But cows can do, bulls can do lots of things that are damaging. So what does it mean? The Brisa says, the Medrash says, Ein negicha, you got it several lines from the top, abeis and abeis, Ein negicha el bekeren. The Medrash says, negicha is specifically something that a shor does with its horn. How do I know? We quote a pasuk. So how do I know that negicha is something to do with a horn? The Medrash says, learn Tanakh. That's a solution to so many problems. Learn Tanakh, you'll figure out, you'll learn Torah, and you'll also learn Biblical Hebrew. At this point, we're not interested so much in the content of the Pesukim, the lessons of the Pesukim, we're just interested in a sample of, a language sample. Well, what does the word negicha mean? Well, let's look elsewhere in Tanakh and let's see how it's used. The Kona Pasuk in Malachim, Vayaslo Tzidkia ben Kenana Karnei Barzel. There's a Navi Sheker, his name is Tzidkia, who's trying to encourage the Melech. He tells him, ignore what the real Nevi'im are telling you. They're telling you that you're about to be overtaken by a superpower. Nah, you're fine. You'll fight back. You'll succeed. It's okay. And this Navi Sheker, Tzidkia, he even does a Paul Dimyon. We spoke about Paul Dimyon the other week in the Ramban and Parash Lech Lecha. So he does a Paul Dimyon. He wants to buttress his false, made-up Nevuah with an action. What does he do? He makes Karnei Barzel. He shows up with these metal horns on his head, like you've seen people dress up with, right? So he comes with a costume. It comes with horns. And he says, oh, your majesty, you can be no geach aram with this. You'll do just fine. You'll attack them. You'll gore them with these horns. So what do you see from the pasuk? Well, what organ do you use to do negicha? A horn, right? Clearly, pasuk. Good. The omer. The Medrash continues then. Here's another pasuk, Bechor Shor Hadarlo, Bekarner Eim Karnav, Behem Amim Yinagach. Just laying that in Vizos HaBracha. Be no geach with the Karen. Another pasuk, that Negicha is Bekaren. So the Gemara, what's the obvious problem with that Medrash? Yeah, what are you two psukim for? The first pasuk was very clear. Tinagach, Karnayim, you got everything. So what do you coin the second pasuk for? Let's skip a couple lines for now. The Gemara had one answer, rejects it. Ella, a couple lines down. Ella mau de sema, the Gemara says, you know what the answer is? That, you know what I would have said? I would have said the following. Ki poligrachim, if all I had was the first pasuk, I could have said that negicha doesn't refer to, I have no evidence until I get to the second pasuk, that negicha refers to natural horns. Because the first pasuk is talking about what type of horn?
Like artificial,
right? I'm attaching something to my body and be nogeach with it. The second pasuk is talking about the karnei re'aim karnov, the karnaim that actually naturally growing out of their aim. So the Gemara explains, all I had was the first pasuk. Mao de seima ki polig rachmana bein tam lemud Hani mili betlusha. I would have thought maybe negicha doesn't mean goring with your own horns, attacking with your own body. Maybe it means when you go and attack with a piece of something that you're holding. And you poke with a stick. So either an animal has karnayim tied onto it, or it picked up a stick in its mouth and runs at someone or something. I would have thought that negicha is specifically telusha. And mechuberes, if it's actually a natural horn, it's actually attached, I would have thought that would be different. That it's not the same. That the whole, when the Torah has a special din, that when you do negicha, you pay, if it's the first few times you're a tam, you only pay chatzi nezek. Only later on, when it becomes typical for this animal, do you pay nezek sham. I would have thought that's only by telusha. Ava mechuberes, but if it's attached, that would not be the din. That's why I need the second pasuk. Good? Great question. I don't want to get involved in that now because we will get back to this Gemara very soon. When we get back to this Gemara Al Haseder, we can dig in more. For now, I want to focus on the Gemara right now is the background. We don't learn a Gemara in order to get to the Rashba, but in this case, I guess we will. We're learning the Gemara in order to get to the Rashba, or in order to see what the specific, there are many good questions, but specifically to notice the Rashba's question, because his answer is shocking. He says, well, so far so good, except I left out one detail from the Gemara. Right? The Gemara said if all I had was that pasuk of Tzidkin ben Kenana, the Navi Asheker, with his Karnei Barzel, I would have thought maybe Negicha only means Karen Telusha. Right? But maybe Karen Mechuberes is not referred to as Negicha. And therefore, I would have thought, were it not for the second pasuk of the Zosaracha, that Karen Mechuberes is not included in the parasha of Ki Yigach, and instead has what din? Instead of having the din that sometimes Nezek Shalem and sometimes Chazen Nezek, it would have had the din that it is. So the Gemara says, Nezek Shalem. Ava Mechuberes Ema Kula Muedesi. Maybe with its horn, it's always a muad. From the get-go, you're Chayiv Nezek Shalem. But the Rashba asks, here at the beginning of this paragraph, Amud Vav, Ava b'mechuberes ema kulam ledesi. He says, I don't understand. How'd you get to that conclusion? Kashali, Adarabba, ema kula tamahi, l'sham chati nezik v'luchud. I don't know, in other words, I have a parsha of Ki'iga, of Negicha, and the Torah there says, and we have this sort of in-between approach. That sometimes chatzi, sometimes you pay 50%, sometimes you pay chatzi nezek, and sometimes you pay 100%. Right? If it's a tab, you pay 50%. If once it becomes a mood, you pay 100%. But I said, well, I would have thought maybe that's only telusha. If I only had the one pasuk in Malachim, that's how I would have misinterpreted the term negicha. So, but Karen Mechuberes would go where? The Gemara says, well, Karen Mechuberes would have gone here to be 100% all the time. Says the Rashba, you also could have gone here, be 50% all the time. Tar didn't make it clear. It's similar to Karen, it's not the same. It's similar to Negicha, not the same as Negicha. So the Rashba says, why the Gemara assume that if I knew that Telusha is sometimes 50, sometimes 100, I have to figure out where would Mechuberes go. So why would I assume pay more? Why would I assume pay less? After all, what's the rule when you're not sure about paying money? Safek Mimona. Cool. Hamotzi Mechaber Al Haraya. So the Rashba says, I understand. For the most basic Yesodos in Dinah Mamnas that we know about, the Gemara is saying, in the end it's not true because we have more psukim. But I would have thought that this whole business, this whole parsha in the Torah of Ki Yigach, that sometimes you're a Tama, sometimes you're a Mut, sometimes you pay 50, sometimes pay 100, I would have thought that's limited just to Telusha. But maybe Mechuberes should be different. Mechuberes should be different, can be pay even more or pay even less. So why is the Gemara just assuming pay even more? That seems to fly in the face. It seems to fly in the face of Safek Mimona. Now, there may be multiple ways to answer this question, But the answer the Rashba gives is remarkable. Let's take a look inside the Kashan Teretz. Kashali, Adarabba, Ema Kula Tamahi. Why not say it's all the time? Why do you have to say you would only pay 100%? Why do you say you only pay 50%? You only pay 50%. The anytime you take out, you make the guy pay more, it's a kula for the one who's suing, but it's a chumra for the one who's getting sued. And the other name we have for the suer and the sui, the toveya and the nitva, is the motzi and the mochsa. It will be a kula for the motzi, but a chumra for the mochsa. And that's upside down, says the Rashba. I don't understand. If I have two pots, the Torah says, this case is at 50 times 50 times 100. This case is not clear which way you go. So shouldn't I, in the absence of evidence, favor the muchzuk? I should have said pay less. That's the Rashba's question. You could have given other answers. But if you listen to what the Rashba says, Yesh Loma, six words. Adraba. The Nizikin Sveki did hu lahachmir ki isurin. Ah, says Raja. That's in Dine Mominus. When it comes to Nizikin, Safik Daraisa Lachumra. Really? Did anyone notice that up until now? Remember the Sugya in the fifth parak was about Nizikin, right? Shar Shanag is a par of Nimsu Uber Batsida. I'm not sure how much I was mazik you. And that was the paradigmatic example of Hamotze Mechavera, all of Haraya. Comes along, the Rashi says, no, when it comes to Nezek is a Sopik Lachmer. Really? Meaning if we're not sure if I punch you in the nose or not, so I have to pay him? Is that true? We should never punch each other in the nose. But if there's a Sopik, whether Reuven punched him in the nose or not, so it sounds like the Rashi is like, well, Safik Nezek Lechumra. The favorish against the Sugi we learned in the fifth parak. That was a Safik. Did Reuven punch him in the nose, but that was a Safik. Did the Shar, was the Shar Nogach, the Vlad or not? And Sumcha said Yachloku, and the Chachamim said Emotzi Mechavera over Raya, he doesn't pay at all. There's a Rashba is shocking. Knock your socks off. What's he talking about? Yeah, what do you say?
What's this case here? If
Reuven
comes in with broken
nose,
he says,
Shimon punched me,
and Shimon says, maybe I did, I don't know. Like, is that the case, or is the case that we don't know?
Well, let's talk about Shor Shanav Vesapar, the opening mission of Fifth Perek, where there's evidence, we know that the Shor attacked the Parah, but it's not clear, and something happened to the Vlad HaParah at some point, but it's not clear whether the Shor did it or not, or whether the Vlad had already been miscarried before the Shor attacked the Parah, right? So there was some evidence, the Jordan Amona, etc. But even with evidence, you're right. Obviously, if I just come and say, someone punched me, he says, no, I didn't, and no grounds for anything. But even in a case where there's grounds, but it's a suffix, you're potter. And that's just opening the second and fifth era. Here we're saying, well, if the animal attacks with its natural horns, I would have said, pay more. Why? I should have said, pay less. Says Raja, no, because Safik Nezek Lachor. But you're touching on something important, thinking about cases.
What the Safik is? Is it Safik of...
I'm sorry?
The Safik of... The person says, I don't know whether or not I punched you, or I don't know whether or not it happened this way, or happened that way.
Or get more basic. In all of those cases, that this case is weird. It's not clear what happened, it's not clear how it happened. It's not clear how much of an impact the Shar had, not clear how wide the scope of the Nezek was, or how much Nezek was caused. As in those cases, we have been assuming up until now, that's Safik Mamun La'akil, that's Hamotzi Mechavera Varaya. It's not clear exactly what happened if I owe you $100, $1,000, $1 million, or zero. So unless you prove I owe you more than zero, that's exactly how much you're getting, zero, because I'm the Mochzik and you're the Motzi, Hamotzi Mechavera Varaya. The other question, what's this Rashba saying? Yeah, Noam. I love the excitement. Yeah?
He's saying this isn't the same type of subject. There's one type of subject where something happened, where there's a subject whether something happened. If it happened, this is what the din would be. And if it didn't happen, this is what the din would be. Here it's a subject of we know it's Karen. The question is, what is the halacha in a case of Karen? So it's an entirely different type of suffix, and we don't know what the Torah prescribes for this type of damage. Now we're going to go to Chum.
Oh, very good. So step one, no one points out that this is a fundamentally different type of suffix than what we talked up until now. Because this is a suffix bidin, not a suffix b'metzius. Up until now, when we taught learning Shoshana Sapara, we know the dinin. We just don't know what happened. What are the facts of the case? Did the shar hit the blood? Did the shar not hit the blood? And the investigators are looking at ballistics and trying to figure out as who hit whom and exactly what happened. Suffix and metzius, so then we say, for some reason, the Rashba is introducing this idea of suffix rise to the chumrah, but the first thing to notice, as Noah points out, is it's a whole different type of suffix. Not a question of what happened in this particular case, the suffix what the din is. The Gemara, this is at a very basic level. We're trying to figure out what are the Avos Nezikin, what are the basic dinim of Nezik. This is a much earlier stage. Everything else we see up until now is a much later stage. We know the basic dinim. Now let's apply the dinim. Let's apply the principles to specific cases of what happened here, what happened there. This is number one, a suffix and din. Number two, a very early suffix din. We're trying to figure out what are the basic rules and why should that matter. Generally, a suffix and din, you still say hamotzei mechavero of harayim. Let's say if there's a teku, the Gemara has a shayla about debt collection, a shayla about whatever, and the Gemara has a suffix, and the Gemara says teku. So what's a din? The din is mochzik wins. You know, that's a suffix and din, but the mochzik wins. They say, I'm mochzik, you're motzi, whatever the suffix is, you need to prove it. Whether it's a question of what the facts are, you, the motzi, have to prove it. What's the question of what the halach is, you, the motzi, have to prove it, and obviously you can't. So that's going to stick with me. Matter of fact, the Gemara, this is for maybe for some other time, poskim even have an idea, even when there's a machlokes, haposkim, what the din should be, the muchzik has the right, if there's a legitimate school of opinion that holds that the muchzik wins, he can say, Kimli, I hold like that, I hold like the Rashba. You may most post hold like the Rambam, I hold like the Rashba. I hold like Rabbeinu Tam. And it's the same sort of idea. You could say a motzi mechavero of Rai even by a suffix and din. But we're on to something. It's a suffix and din, not a suffix and metzius. And now let's marry that observation. This is a suffix and din, and not only a suffix and din, but very early suffix and din. Is that we're building? We're not working on the details. We're working on the building blocks. So what are the avnezikin? Let's put that together with the ideas that we developed about shmirah, because what Baruch Ber suggests is that so the mechayev of paying for mamon hamazik is what? Is my lack of shmirah. Right? But there are really two pieces to that. Because you talk about lack of shmirah, we began talking with yesterday talking about the stipler trying to figure out, you know, where does the Torah say it's aser to mazik? Because if I'm not allowed to let my property do it, then I have a chiyuv to be shomer. So Baruch Ber points out what that means is that there are two stages in the logic. The first stage is, I'm not allowed to be mazik. It's wrong of me to allow the situation to continue. You have a dog, halacha obligates you to make sure that dog is safe. Maybe it's a safe dog. If it's not such a safe dog, you gotta muzzle it, you gotta keep it on leash, whatever needs to happen so that that dog will be safe. You need to do that. If you don't, you did not have it. That's step number one. That nezek is an isser. And step number two is, not only is it an isser, but if I did that isser, I have to, doing that isser caused problems, caused nezek, I also have to pay. That's a consequence of step one. It's not the same thing as step one. Proof it's not the same thing is now we return back to the din we mentioned, we opened with before, is grama. Remember we talked about grama before? Here's another thing you learn from thinking about grama. It's pater, aval, aser. So there may be times when I'm doing the wrong thing, but I don't have to pay. Sometimes I'm doing the wrong thing, I even have to pay as a result of violating the Isur Lahazik, whether it's the Isur Lahazik includes a person cannot do a nezek, and also includes a person is obligated to be shomer his mamon, shomer his stuff, and not create takalos. So that's an aveira. A consequence of that aveira is that often, but not always, I have to pay. As a matter of fact, the way the Chasam Sofer puts it, it doesn't require great bekiyus to find the Chasam Sofer or the Order Baruch Ber. They're both referenced in footnote 61 of the Rashba. You can find them also, and they are right there. Chasam Sofer even says, when you think about sort of these two stages, it's usher to do nezek, it's usher to not be shomer your mammon, and then stage two, you have to pay for it. He says it's almost as though, this is a really interesting way of thinking about it, it's almost as though like the paying for it is to make sure that you'll be shomer, like a gether. If you know that you have to pay for it, that's how any fine works. But if you know, why do you have to pay a fine of $115 if you park at a fire hydrant in New York City? I think that's what you have to pay. I think so. That way, because it's important from a safety, it's critically important from a Pikuach Nefesh perspective that people not park at fire hydrants, because rarely do we need them, but when we need them, we need access to them. Rachman Atzlan, if we need them, we need access to a fire hydrant, and some guy's parked in front of it, it's going to take longer, it's going to be more difficult for firefighters to fight the fire. So we're interested in fire hydrants always being clear. So we could just make a rule, everyone has to stay away from the fire, no one's allowed to park at the fire hydrant, and that would be somewhat effective. Sadly, not fully effective. It's more effective to say, you're not allowed to park at a fire hydrant. If you park at a fire hydrant, there's going to be a sizable bill to pay. Right? So all of a sudden, people have added motivation to find alternative parking spots. Even when it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're in the Heights, and there are no spots left, and there's a hydrant. So number one, you don't park at the hydrant because, Rachman Litzlan, you would never live with yourself if you're the one who slowed down the firefighters. And number two, most likely there will be no fire, but most likely there will be a ticket on your window, on your windshield in the morning. Right? So that's the way the Chasam Sofer looks even at Tashlumei Nezek. Why do you pay for your bar? Why do you pay for your ish? Why do you pay for your shar? Because if you get tickets for doing the wrong thing, you're more likely to do the right thing. So fundamentally, there's an isser against being mazik. Fundamentally, there's an isser against letting your mammon run loose irresponsibly. Fundamentally, there's an isser against creating a bar and walking away without closing it up. And the Torah even slapped on, you got to pay for it. But it starts, as the Chasam Sofer think about it, it's sort of an interesting way of looking at it. But either way, here's the key point, which Chasam Sofer lived in the 1800s, Baruch Ber lived in the 1900s. But they're both angling towards a similar idea that there are two steps. There's the Isser, or if you like, you can put it, the Chiyuv Shmira. I'm required to do the right thing. I'm required to take care of my stuff. As a result, I need to pay. Not always, but often. Now, why does this matter? So number one, the fact that it's two separate stages, first as an Isser, a Chiyuv Shmira, and then as a consequence is often a Chiyuv L'shalem. Number one, that explains why there'll be situations where you Patra Avalasa. Not every single time that you violate the Isser do you have to pay. Most of the times you have to pay. Some of the Torah didn't impose the Chiyuv to pay, but you did the wrong thing. And from V'Hatzriach HaKamocha perspective, I should make good. I caused you injury. I have part being Mephias used to make good, but it's not something that based in, that's actionable in Basin. And number two, is it now explains the Rashba. We were looking at the shocking Rashba, Safik, Daraisa, L'chumra, in the world of Mamonos, because it's Nezikin. Really? No, we're just talking about the feeling. How could that be? What do you mean? Shor Shor Gas HaPara. Right? So Noam got started by saying, well, Shor Shor Gas HaPara is a Safik and Metzias. Good. This is a Safik and Din. Aye, but still, even Safik and Din, a Teiku and Dini Mamanus, the Muchzuk wins also. The difference is that here, it's not just a Safik in some sub-detail of Dini Mamanus. This is at the very core where these are the building blocks of Avos Nezikin. Every Av Nezek, the Torah says you have to pay for Eish. That means two things. Number one, if you light a fire, you're mechuyev to guard it. And number two, if you don't, you're going to have to pay. And we spoke yesterday that Stipler has all the different possible psukim that may fall under the rubric of. And maybe it's a violation of Osama Damriach or this or that. But Lamasa, every parsha of Nezek is a chiyuv lishmor, And then also a chiyuv l'shalem. Two things. Step one, step two. Step one, you're obligated to do X. You're not allowed to do Y. Step two, you're even going to have to pay for it. Ah. So what the Rajba is touching on seems to be both the Chasam Sofer and Baruch Ber Sev. There's been different formulations, but the same is essential concept that here the Gemara, what was the suffix on Beis and Beis? Why was it important for us to see the Gemara? To appreciate what the Gemara is talking about. What are the, even the Avos and Nezikin? What are the parishes of Chumash? Where does this case belong? So it's not just a question of details. Oh, I'm going to have to pay. How much do I have to earn? It's a question of how much Shmira do I even have to do? How much does the Torah expect me to watch this? The stage two is Mamo. If I didn't do the right thing, now I have to pay. But if I parked at a fire hydrant and now I have a ticket, the ticket is Dini Mamos. But the park at the fire hydrant is not Dini Mamos. That's shallow people will say, oh, I shouldn't park a fire hydrant because it's going to be costly. No, you shouldn't park a fire hydrant because you're not supposed to park a fire hydrant. A, because that's the law. That should be the answer. B, because of Sepanas Nefashos. That's Isser. I can't park in the fire hydrant. That's Isser Veheter. If I violate the Isser Veheter, I might even have a ticket to pay, and that will be Dini Mamnes. But the Dini Mamnes is step two. The step one, the core, the Shorash HaDavar, is Isser Veheter. The Shorash HaDavar is, I have a mitzvah to make sure that my stuff is not causing nezek. I have an Isser to allow my stuff, the violation of the Samadam Re'echa, violation of a bitul of a Hashevosola, whatever the Pesukim are, a bitul of these parashios. The parasha of Nezek begins as an Isser and then moves to Mammon. The parasha of Bar begins as an Isser and then moves to Mammon. I'm not allowed to leave to drop a banana peel on the floor. Why? So maybe it's a violation of several psukim. Maybe it's a violation even of Nivrasit and Michal. Certainly it's a violation of the parasha of Bar. The parsha bar implies you're not allowed to create a bar, and B, if you do, you're going to have financial liability for the consequences. But it doesn't start with mammon. There are a number of areas of halacha, as an aside, where this is true. Baruch Ber, Chasam Sofer, don't talk about this, but Shechter doesn't talk about in reference to the Rajba, but he does have a beautiful article, beginning of Eretz Tzvi. He points out there are several areas of halacha that are crossovers. Let's say like a Kohen, but sometimes there are crossovers between Isser and Tumah. If a Kohen isn't become supposed to become Tame Lames. So is that in the world of Tuma or is that in the world of Isser? So the core din is Tuma. But for you, if you're not a Kohen, so it's not an Aveira to become Tame, it's a practical status. Now you're Tame, now you can't eat Kachem. Right, now you're Tame, now you can't go to the base of Mikdash. Right? For the Kohen, it's sometimes an Aveira to even become Tame. Do we treat that as Tuma? With the rules of Tumah, you trade with the rules of Isser. It's an interesting type of question. We have these crossover dinim. So here's another crossover din. That's what Baruch Ber and Chasam Sofer suggest, that the Rajba's point in this strange seeming, if Nezek is Isser, what he's saying is, unlike other areas of dinim Amunus, begins with Isser. Let's go back, let's read that Rajba again. Yesh lomar da'adraba, benezikin sveke didhu lahachmer ki yisurin. By Nezikin, not by every case of Nezikin, but when you're trying to form the basic building blocks of Nezikin, we treat a suffix in this area as Isser. Unlike, let's say, a fundamental question about the chiyuv to pay back a loan, a fundamental question about whether this kinyan was valid or not. A suffix, whether there's a mucker for this kinyan. A suffix, whether, you know, to having to pay for things. A suffix, whether the shtar is valid. A suffix about whether this aid is valid. Those are all at their core dinei mamonos. I don't have to pay, as we said in the past, right? The fact that I have to pay back a loan, the fact that I have to pay for things that I bought, the fact that I have to pay my workers, it doesn't begin as an isser. That's meirosho v'atzofo, all dinei mamonos. No one did anything wrong. There's a deal, now we have to pay. But not you're going to have to pay for it. You have to pay for it without the connotation. Now, you didn't do anything wrong, you just have to pay. You borrowed money, you have to pay. You bought something, you have to pay. You didn't do an avera, you just have to pay. That's pure mammon. But here, it's not merely mammon. It starts with an avera. You had a chiyuv to guard your stuff. You had a chiyuv to guard yourself. You didn't. That was step one. As a result of that iser, there's going to be a price to pay as well. So So that, again, and so now let's just wrap it all up with a... And we wrap it up in English and in Hebrew. All right, what do we have? Where have we been? Where have we been? We had a chance to soak up the Mishnah and to attack the Mishnah from several different angles. Right? Thinking back to where we've been since we moved to Daf Beis Amud. First, we got involved in the issue that Rashi Ray raises and the Rishonim take and run with in terms of the order of the Avos Nezikin. And so that would really take us back to the Pesukim. The whole Mishnah is about Pesukim. That's what Avos means. It's exemplars in the Pesukim, the paradigms in the Pesukim. And that's why I presume we're so interested, ideally, in being Beseder HaKasov, despite the fact that later on the Mishnah has a logical order. Tosas worked on Rashi. The Ravid worked on Rashi. Then we saw the Rashi Bei Peretz. They had totally different approaches to the Seder. And maybe has to do with practicality, what's most likely. The Tosfos Bei Peretz called the Rashbam. That has to do with poetry. The mission is poetry. And we're looking for beautiful meter and beautiful rhyme, beautiful alliteration. And then we got in from the Seder of the Avos Nezikin, we got into what seems more like the heart of the content of the mission, the svaras of the mission, Ruach Chaim. And Ledarko Leilach L'Hazik. And the whole idea that the mission is trying to see whether we can dash one from the other, but we can't because of these pirchas, which already got Tosin and the Rashba working on Ein Onshin Min Adin. We seem to be very open to making drushes. How about the Mechilta? Is the Mechilta disagreeing with the Mishnah of the Bavli, as Tosa said? Or as the Rashba said, no, the Mechilta is true, but limit is not disagreeing, it's of limited scope. And that already got us, the way the Rashba explained why it would be limited to Bar, got us into the world of Darko Leilach L'Hazik, as well as getting us thinking about issues of fault. And that brought us, together with other nafkins we just mentioned in the beginning, into a first major chakira, which is the mechayev of tashlumin the ma'aseh nezek, or is the mechayev tashlumin the pshiyah and the shmirah? Is it my animal did, or that I was negligent? And we saw that it seems pretty clear, l'chora, that lemaskana it's pshiyah b'shmirah. You could have argued that Shar is different than Bar, but Lechor seems pretty clear that it's Zechir Shmir. After all, the Mishnah at the end says, Sa'a Shavah Shavahen, Darak Mahazik, Ushmi Rasan Alecha, Keshehizik Chava Mazik, Lashalim, etc. The Mishnah does seem to wrap up with that. We didn't get a chance to look at Muki Yosef. Could I take a look? It was in the bottom of Maram Kamos. Could I take a look at the Raman Pirish Mishnah? Also, simple reading, certainly, our Girsa doesn't have the word Mamoncha. Our Girsa just has the word Shmir Rasan Alecha. So that sounds like, absolutely. The second side of the Chakira, the Mechayev of Tashlumei Nezikin, certainly for Nizkei Mamon, is not the Maisa Nezek, it's the Pshia and the Shmira. And then over the course of today, we looked at a remarkably curious, striking, stunning Rashba, who invokes Safik Darais, Safik Isser Lechumra in the world of Nezek, and that got us to, again, several steps, to recognize that within the second side of the Chakir, which we accept, that it's Pshia and the Shmira, you have to realize that breaks down to two stages. First, logically, first one, then the next. First, it begins the world of Isser. I have a Chiyu to be Shomer, and it's wrong of me to be Mazik. It's wrong of me. I'm doing the wrong thing if I'm not Shomer. And then the paying is a consequence. I did wrong. I may have to pay for it. I parked the hydrant. I may have to pay a ticket. I was careless with my property, and it was damaging. I was careless with myself was mazik. I'm going to have to pay as a result. But it begins with an isser, and the isser leads to mamon. That's why the Rashba says if you're dealing with not only suffik gedin, but suffik gedin, the very, very beginning of the process of deriving all of this, it's a suffik in, what are the yesodos? That's not just a suffik in mamon, that's a suffik in what's the degree of the Isser, what's the degree of the Chiyuv Shmira. The Chiyuv Shmira per se is not Mammon. The Chiyuv Shmira is actually Isseret, it's a mitzvah, Avera. Baruch Bar has more details which we did not get into. But looking back at all of this, you might also ask, okay, this is very nice. What do we get out of this? What do we get out of this? Tosis asks actually a very similar question. Tosas asks, in the middle of the low, Tosas says, the Mishnah had this whole, why not learn Eish from Ashar Mava? No, because there's Ruach Chaim. And why not learn Bar from all three? No, because Dark Aleich Lahazik. Someone asked a great question, I think it was yesterday, which was, why not go in the reverse order? Well, we'll start with Bar and Eish. No. The truth is, the Gemara says, in a few blocks from now, some of you learned some of the Gemara ahead. The Gemara says, hey, I'm a bay. The Gemara says, you're right. You actually could learn everything from Bar and one other one. If you run it in reverse, the Tzadah Shava would work. And the Gemara has a whole different reason for why Taka the Torah have to write all the different parshas of Zikin. It's because each one has its own little details you need to know, little Hosein. But really, you could have made Tzadah Shava if you were to have organized it differently. That's something I've sort of been holding off on for like a week. Rashi said, well, we need to organize Tzadah Shavas in this way so that we're going from Chamer to Kal. Well, why not organize it the other way? Tosa says, I understand. Tosa says, near the end of Velo, we picked up with the Ksas Kasha. The line before Ksas Kasha. Ubor lo rotsa lishnos kodem esh. Why don't we have bor before esh in the mission lo harez? The imkein haviyasi esh minei. Because then we would be able to darshan. We would have no pircha. It would work. The chulu asimi bor bechad mehanach. Because you can learn all the ovens zikun from bor and any one other. Right? You can't learn bor from anything else. But once you have bor and one other, you can make a tzara shavata. You could do bor and shein, bor and regal, bor and karen, bor and esh, bor and one other av. Already is mechayev all the others. Kedarmin and Bigemara. So the obvious question is, well, so what's the point of Mishnah? So what are we doing this for? Exercising futility. So what does Tosas say? Tosas is sensitive to that question. They don't ask it, but they answer it. V'atana herich lahagdil Torah v'yader. Well, the Tana was marich in this whole tzad hashoveh, lahagdil Torah v'yader. To make Torah big and wonderful. If you learn that Torah, Torah is big and wonderful, but you're giving additional tzadah shavas that all the things that are true lemaskana are big and wonderful. But why are you giving a whole other drasha that really is a kasha? How did Torah
yada? Wouldn't it make it less beautiful?
Seems less beautiful. Sounds like we make it longer. Well, there's more to say. Baruch Hashem, there's plenty to say. We would be plenty busy in Bava Kama without the tzadah shavas too. Ooh, so the Raivad, take a look at the Raivad. Givalda, take a look at the Raivad. I, for many years, was bothered by that. It sounds like such a funny parrot and thesis. You want it to be longer? Not too long with somebody that's not true, Maskana. Well, what does that mean? We could also take the entire phone book and stick it into the Gemara, and that'll be longer. Right? That's obviously absurd. So what does it mean? The Tosis is very terse. Look at the Raivad. I make copies of my own Ravid, so it's actually underlined. Hadi Kalsani, in the Ravid. She'ein lanu l'daktek ha'atana hazeh. You shouldn't ask so many questions. She'arei lo ba'a l'ftoach lanu pesach l'dvarim. He came, the goal of the Mishnah is to open the door to the discussion above a comma, which I think means, in other words, to get us thinking about all the issues. And indeed, the Mishnah is a marvelous, this Tzadah Shavah is not false, but it's not necessary Tzadah Shavah, because ultimately there's a kash on it. That every step of the Tzadah Shavah is logical, it's just not necessary, because there are other kashas, right? There are other ways to set it up. But it's a way of introducing, getting us thinking about all the issues. And the truth is, if you think about everything we've done until now, it got us thinking about a whole host, the digging deeper into the sugyas of the Mishnah got us thinking about so many of the yisodos of Bava Kama run throughout the first number of Prakim. Thinking about the relation between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shvapet, the fact that the Avos are in Chumash, and the Avos Bechal de Katoldus, which we're going to be diving into very soon. And thinking about these issues of how you define the Chiyuv Nezek, and to begin to think about, we never even ask ourselves, why do you have to pay? Well, yeah, you have to pay. No, why do you have to pay? And there's sometimes there's a Maisa Nezek, sometimes there isn't a Maisa Nezek. When there's no Maisa Nezek, there'll still be a Chiyuv Shmira. And even to begin to think about what the Rashba raised as well as earlier in the course of the Seder, it got us thinking about Tarshu Mechsav and Tarshu Alpeh. It also got us thinking about Matzoi, which is going to be something that's going to come up actually in the world of Grama and Garmi, thinking about which Nizakah are more common, which Nizakah are less common, which also ties well to the Chasam Sofer's idea of the Geder. And maybe the money is there as a siyag, d'oraisa, to make sure that you will indeed do your shmira. So the Mishnah, I think we were Makayim Taisvus in the Raivet. We learned the Mishnah, and the Mishnah opened up Pesach B'Dvarim. Yagdol Torah V'Yagdol. Now all of a sudden we're beginning to appreciate, not just that it's a longer Mishnah. L'Hagdol Adira means now you begin to appreciate the richness of the dinim. Beforehand, we just thought, okay, you dig a bar, you have to pay. I said, no, woo. Number one, these are all examples we have to categorize and generalize, and we can begin to think about the relationship between different avos, and we can think about why you're chayv for different avos. Now, this Mishnah has been posech lanu pesach b'dvarim. V'hagdol Torah v'yagdol, Mishnah, we will take the opportunity to talk to the magdil the Torah and recognize the adirus of Masachas Bava Kama over the coming months.